Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We might not have a 2020 World Series champ if we don't hop to it. There is a sense of urgency with Major League Baseball. Both sides have recognized that this week they really need to get a deal done if they're going to start baseball by the end of June, more likely the early portion of July. And remember, they were always targeting July 1st to July 4th weekend. It's a Saturday, the holiday. And so if they don't get something done this week, then we're in no man's land with baseball as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. We're asking you on this edition of the show, which we always call it our Twizzler Tuesday question, as we say farewell to a Monday and head into a Tuesday. What is the best thing that has happened to you in 2020 now that we're 5 weeks in? I know it's sometimes hard to find those positives, but by focusing on them, and I think by focusing on the things that I'm thankful for, it reminds me that all hope is not lost. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. You can find me on Twitter, ALAW Radio, also on our Facebook page. And you're already blowing up our Facebook page and sending us lots of tweets. The best thing to happen to you in 2020, because I know it encourages other people when you say, my wife is free of breast cancer, my dad is now cancer free, and you share some of your other positives. And we're supposed to laugh with those who laugh and celebrate with those who celebrate, but also mourn with those who mourn. And on that note, a lot of people mourning the death of Hall of Fame basketball coach Jerry Sloan in the last couple weeks. And that includes our guest Thurl Bailey, who is a longtime NBA forward and spent time with the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City playing for the great Jerry Sloan. I had a chance to catch up with Thurl in the last couple of days, and I know he's a great great talker because he does Utah Jazz pre and post, but also I knew that it would be something he'd want to do, to talk about his former coach. So I asked him what was on his mind and what were his emotions when he heard of Coach Sloan's passing.
Well, I'm going to go back, because when he came out and announced that he had the form of Alzheimer's and Lewy dementia, I think my emotions then were even stronger than actually when he passed. And I don't say that, you know, tongue-in-cheekly. I say it because I didn't know a lot about Lewy dementia and Alzheimer's, except for, you know, some people that I knew that had gone through it. But if you know Coach Sloan, if you know his history, you know his aura, his legend, it's about toughness, right? It's about fighting every single night through whatever it jumps in front of you. And so that was devastating news to me, because a little I did know about the disease, I knew that it kind of it ate people away, right? And it made them, their body kind of a shell, and you were kind of imprisoned in that. And I just did not, I hated to know that he was going to go through that. So I would visit him once or twice a month, and he'd have some really good days. In the last 3 or 4 months, he'd have some really good days. So, you know, part of me knew that it was going to get worse, and I think everybody knew that. And even though you try to prepare for what you feel like you know is coming, it's just hard to lose somebody like Coach Sloan. It's hard to know that he's not here anymore. So it was tough. You know, part of it for me was okay, now he's not trapped in that body anymore.
Right.
And so that's the stand I took.
I didn't realize that you had spent time with him recently. What did those visits mean to you?
They meant a lot to me because I think he had some really good days where he remembered some things that the part of the journey we had back in the day. And even though he may have only stayed on that journey for 10, 12 seconds, and then, you know, we lose him again, and then he'd come back and he called my name and he talked about what kind of player I was. And
aww.
I think each time it was a little different, right? And so all those meetings ended with, "I love you, coach." And so, you know, it was really good to be with him during that time as well, because I felt like not only did he need it, but I needed it as well, just as one of his former players. And the other guys would go visit him as well. John would come into town, Stockton and Carl and Carl Malone and other players that played for him and staff. And so, you know, it's as tough as it was, I think we felt better about it because it wasn't something that was suddenly for us. But he had some really good days, and we had some good memories before he didn't have any of those anymore.
Coach Sloan was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009, and he spent 23 years of his coaching career with the Utah Jazz, which was an eternity at the time that he was doing that. And I remember seeing a crazy stat that talked about how, I think it was 245 coaching changes happened over the time that he was the head coach of Utah. What gave him staying power in Salt Lake City with the Jazz franchise?
Well, I think the staying power came within his resolve to give his all and do his best with the team that he had. And a lot of that comes with trust, right? The organization trusting in him, because that just doesn't happen anymore. This is an impatient league. And I mean, heck, even coaches who have won and had winning seasons are gone the next year.
Right.
So a lot of that is about the Millers, starting at, from Larry, trusting Coach Sloan and trusting the team to buy into what he was teaching us. And so those tough Jerry Sloan teams that were built from his personality made a mark in the league, in the small market, as people call it. So, you know, the organization had enough trust in him to say, okay, we need to get past, you know, we need to get to the playoffs. And Coach Sloan proved that he could do that. We need to get to the finals. We need to have a chance to win a ring. And he did that twice in a row, you know, had it not been for Michael Jordan and those Bulls.
Right.
And you probably would have had a couple, but trust goes with that. Just dedication to his job and knowing that every single day you give it all and good things are going to happen.
Thurl Bailey was a longtime forward in the NBA, played for Coach Jerry Sloan in Utah in the early part of his career for a lot of years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the two trips to the finals, and the world kind of got reintroduced, or introduced as it were, depending on your perspective, to those trips by the Utah Jazz in the late 90s as part of the Last Dance. So it was kind of neat to see Coach Sloan on the sidelines in those series and to take that walk down memory lane. Did you have a chance to watch it and see him and remember those Utah Jazz teams?
Absolutely. And I wasn't on the Jazz for those 2 years. I had been traded, and I came back after that championship run that they had for a last year. But I still felt a part of it. I mean, they have a saying here, once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man, regardless
awesome.
Of wherever you go. And so I was in the stands. You know, my season was done wherever I was, and I was still a part of that Jazz family, and I would watch those games. And listen, I knew Michael well. I had to go against him in college. I actually showed him around when he came to visit NC State.
Wow.
He was trying to go to school. So, you know, that connection started early. But listen, that Jazz, those two Jazz runs to the finals were about the Jazz not being fancy. It was about being tough because anybody who ever followed the Jazz, who ever played against the Jazz, knew what plays they were going to run. They knew it. Jerry would make a C with his hand, and that meant a pick and roll with Karl Malone and John Stockton. Didn't matter whether you knew it or not, you couldn't stop it. And so it was the best of fundamental basketball against the greatest player who ever played, and a team that a cast of characters that we saw in the Last Dance that just was able to be under another great coach and Phil Jackson. And so that was an amazing series. I think the Jazz really collected a lot of fans as well along the way, just by the way they played and the toughness they had from Jerry Sloan.
Gosh, it was so much fun for me because I really grew up on the NBA in the late 80s and 90s, and it was so much fun to see some of those highlights again, but also to see the interviews with John Stockton because, you know, I haven't seen a lot of him in the days since he's retired, and so it was kind of fun since he was always one of my favorites. And I love, too, that there was the perspective of guys who were right in the mix. So as you talk about, that's you were right in the stands, but I mean, just that whole documentary, you know, what appealed to you about it?
Well, I thought it was really good from the perspective. Listen, everybody's interested in Michael Jordan's perspective on things. When you're the greatest at something, everyone wants your perspective. Now they don't have to believe it all, right? I mean, they don't have to, but it's the perspective that it came from that you wanted. You don't want to hear it secondhand. You want to hear from the greatest and how he approached it. Now, his teammates may have disagreed with some of the things, but it was about, there was no question it was Mike's team. And Mike was the one, along with being coached by Phil Jackson, Mike was the one who would take them into battle. And so it was good to get a peek inside of that from his perspective. And the way he felt about other players, from Isaiah Thomas to whoever it was, you take it and you assimilate it, and you say, "Nah, that couldn't happen." Oh, wow, that's why he's the greatest right there, because he didn't take any junk from anybody.
Longtime NBA forward Thurl Bailey with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I sometimes will say this phrase on my show about how a team never starts the season ready to win a title. There's a process there, and you have to kind of go through the fire. When you see everything the Bulls went through and compare that to your own career and knowing what the Jazz went through to get to the playoffs, is that true? Does every team have to go through some adversity to learn how to be a winner, even if it's so dramatic?
Yeah, not every team, every person. I think there's no success without going through adversity. And that's what as a speaker, that's what you teach. It doesn't matter what arena you're in. You don't really have a great story if everything's been handed to you and you expect to do it. And you don't go through some adversity. I mean, we just talked about The Last Dance and the adversity Michael went through when he first got to Chicago. They had to build a team around him. You know, his dad dies and, you know, he steps away from it. Every person on that team has their own version of adversity that they've gone through. So it's a matter of how long that is, right? It's a matter of how long the battle is you have to go through to get to that achievement. And some never get to it, the pinnacle of it. But I think if you go through that adversity and you learn from it, you can say when you walk away that I gave it my all. Fell a little bit short. But I gave it my all. Somebody better beat us that night. And now I'm going to move on, and I'm going to put that same effort as a part of this next journey. So, yeah, I mean, I think every team has to think about the ultimate goal. You can't go into a season saying, okay, we just want to win 50 games. that might be an immediate goal, but the ultimate goal is to finally build something that can – win you a championship. That's what we did at NC State with Coach Valvano. That's how we thought. That's how he taught us the thought. We had some tough times. But in the end, were we the best team every single night? No. I mean, but when it was done, the stars lined up and what we had, the adversity we had gone through paid off and we got the reward for it.
Thurl, I didn't even think about that being at NC State when
how can you not think about that?
Well, I mean, but I just wasn't putting the dates together. So you played not only for Coach Valvano, who's known for his incredible inspiration as he was battling cancer, and I had the great honor to work with his brother at my previous network, and so I've heard so many great stories. And then Coach Sloan as well, both coaches known for their character and their toughness and their fight and their ability to inspire. Man, that's amazing that you got to learn from both of those men.
Yeah, a lot of players don't get to be that fortunate. I was. I think the thing about Coach B was he didn't recruit me. He wasn't my first coach at NC State. A guy named Norm Sloan recruited me, and I played for him for a year. He left, and they brought some short Italian guy in that we didn't know anything about. So we weren't even ready to listen to him. We were like, we want to leave, we want to transfer. And he sold us on this dream of his about winning the national championship. And he made it, he packaged it so nice that you couldn't turn it down. You know, you at least didn't want to leave and miss it if it was going to be like he made it sound. And so we all stayed and we bought into it. And, you know, the story is that we took a tough journey and beat probably one of the best teams in college basketball ever in High Slamma Jamma, Kim Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler. And we're national champions. So, yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful journey, and that's something that will go down in history, I think. Not trying to be biased, but one of the greatest wins, and not just college basketball, but in sports.
Mm. Well, that's an amazing perspective. And Thurl Bailey has a podcast. It's called Thurl Talk, and has a chance to talk to various. It's not all sports, right? I've seen some of your guests from other walks of life, but yeah. So thoughtful. Are you enjoying it? Are you having fun doing the podcast, even this spring, which is so upside down?
I'm having a blast. And today is the interview of all interviews for me. I'm on my way now to record the episode for next week. And my first introduction to basketball was sitting down with my dad watching a black and white Zenith TV set. I didn't know anything about basketball, but I looked at one guy that was playing. I knew he was the best player on the court. He had some cool short shorts on and the biggest afro I'd ever seen in my life. And I asked my dad who he was. He said, Dr. J, son. And
whoa.
I said, Dad, doctors can play pro ball. I didn't know that. And so that's when I learned about Dr. J. And he's the reason I got a passion for basketball. Now I get to interview him, read his book. And if you ever get a chance to get Dr. J's first book, it's his autobiography. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's a tell-all. He talks about his journey from childhood to success. And I'm on my way to spend some time with him right now.
Wow, I cannot wait to hear that podcast. That's going to be a must listen when you finally post it. So before I let you go, Thurl, you also work with the Jazz pre and post game. And so they would be in the playoffs right now. And they'd worked really hard to get to this point. And I know we've seen this return to play plan from the NHL. Is there a concept or a plan that makes sense, do you think, for the NBA?
Anybody outside the NBA doesn't really know that. And I'm not even sure the NBA really knows the perfect scenario. What I do know is I think they've handled it well from beginning to now. You know, I was in Oklahoma City when they shut the game down and quarantined all of us for that broadcast. And that was the domino that started to fall in sports for the most part. But I know the NBA has had several committees working on several scenarios based on where we are with coronavirus. And so there's a lot of money being lost, not just in the NBA, but just around our country and in different arenas. But, you know, I think the best, if they want to finish the season now, I think the idea has come out about maybe having some play-in games for teams who are kind of on the bubble, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then having one location where teams can battle it out to finish this season. So I think it sounds good. Everybody, you can't please everybody, Amy, you know that. So,
right.
You know, you get Damian Lillard saying some things and I understand it. I get it. And I don't disagree with it, but somebody's going to be unhappy with whatever the final decision is. But once that's made, we go with it. We continue the season.
Thurl, it's great to catch up with you for a couple of minutes. I'm glad that we could fit it into your schedule. And you can find him on Twitter at Big T Bailey, and then the link to his podcast and most recently his thoughts on his longtime coach, Jerry Sloan. Thank you for your perspective and your thoughtfulness, and we look forward to catching up with you again, Thurl.
Thank you, Amy. Always a great talking to you. Great job.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I got an email from the hair salon where my favorite beautician works. He has been doing my hair for a few years now. I love my friend Paul, and he sends text messages every week to offer encouragement about what's been happening, quarantine hair, you know. He even offered at one point, and I don't think he's just texting me. I think he's texting all of his clients, but He at one point offered to show up at various homes and do house calls with his scissors and his mask and whatever shampoo or other tools he might need. And I obviously was going to wait until the salon opened up. So in the state of New Jersey, the date of June 22nd has been given. It seems random, but it's a Monday. And so there are various steps that are being taken in states all over the country. But in the state I live in, we're starting to see more non-essential businesses open up. And the next phase for us in Jersey, I'm sure many of you have already gone through it or you're in it right now. Restaurants are allowed to open for outdoor seating. Not indoor yet, but outdoor seating. That's our next phase. And then on June 22nd, as part of moving into phase three, hair salons and spas are allowed to reopen again with restrictions, limited capacity, but at least allowed to make appointments. Now, my hair salon sent around this email on Monday, which is how I found out about it. It's still 3 weeks away and they're already taking appointments, of course. So I'm pretty confident that even if I called on Tuesday and tried to make an appointment or tried to schedule something with Paul, it could still be another month at least before I'm able to get my hair cut.
We'll see what other suits follow sport.
Yeah, the suit is not following sport in this case. The dominoes are not quite dropping yet, but there is hope that my hair will get cut or will get tended to. It's really kind of unruly. It'll get tended to maybe sometime in July. I'm trying not to get my hopes up. But really, I have no place to go right now, so I'm not sure why I'm worried about it. Some of you have sent me pictures or I've seen them on my own Facebook, friends feed of, getting haircuts and, hey, I finally got my mane taken care of. So yay for that. I'll sometime soon, maybe in the next 4 weeks or so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. As we put the first 5 months of 2020 in the rear view mirror, what is the best thing that you will take away from these last few months? So the start of 2020. And honestly, there may be some great redemption through the rest of the year. I don't know what the rest of the year holds, but I'm not going to throw out the entire year and chalk it up to the worst year ever. What I do think is that if we focus on some of the positives, even if it's just one here or there, one positive thing that we can hang on to, it does give us a different perspective. And so many of you are weighing in on either Twitter or on Facebook, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Gosh, seeing the number of you who've written in to say, my dad had successful cancer surgery, or my wife is now clear of breast cancer. I mean, these are incredible milestones worth celebrating. And so I'm so grateful that you're sharing them with me. Big A on Twitter, best thing that happened to me was seeing my mom get to ring the bell after beating cancer. And that's amazing. I mean, that it doesn't matter what year or how bad everything else is. That is something worth celebrating and that the victory that comes with that. Robinson says, being furloughed during this pandemic, I have a bigger appreciation for life. My faith is stronger. My wife and three kids, my sister, her family, my parents, and true family and friends. Those I think are also gifts and blessings that we won't ever take for granted. Brian says, getting rewarded to stay at home and spend time with my kids and wife and dad who had a stroke last year. And he says, I got a lot of his home improvements done that he needed to make life easier. Craig is the one who said, my dad had successful cancer surgery. Some of you got promotions and some of you, you're in the opposite boat. You're seeing this time at home where you're not working as a chance to spend unexpected weeks and even months with those people that you love the most and maybe you realize you hadn't been making a priority. So whether you find us on Twitter or on Facebook, I'm going to share some of these because I think sharing them generates even more hope. And I also want to go over some of the NBA options too, because there are a few out there now that the NBA Board of Governors will be voting on Thursday. And so we may have a framework in place similar to what we got from the NHL last week with the round robins for the top seeds, and then the play-in tournaments that will go 5-game series. They have still details to work out, but they do have at least their blueprint, their plan. The NBA is closing in on that, and June 4th, this coming Thursday, is a big day for them as they try to decide which plan makes the most sense. Certainly, if you bring back all 30 teams, there are more logistics to iron out and more details that have to be organized, and also more risk. But then you keep more fan bases involved too, and give teams a chance, at least that were within striking distance, a chance to make the playoffs if they put together some kind of run. I don't know. It's hard to know, but if you're putting teams in a bubble, it stands to reason the fewer people in that bubble, it would decrease the risk. So the NBA is still debating what makes the most sense. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, on Facebook. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question, our Twizzler Tuesday show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Curry in the right corner, back out to Doncic. Play by Ball. To his left off Porzingis. Favors has him on the switch now. Down to six to shoot. Straight away, three-pointer. Good! With 1.109 remaining. 121-118.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chuck Cooperstein on the Mavericks Radio Network. We would be, if not already into the NBA Finals, probably sitting here for a few days, or maybe looking at a Game 7 of the Conference Finals, one or the other. But it would be that time of the year, Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, so close to crowning champions. Last year, two brand new champions in the form of the St. Louis Blues and the Toronto Raptors, first time for each of those franchises. But we don't know yet what it's going to look like and if there will be champs crowned. Now, the NHL has a plan in place, still hammering out the minutiae, while the NBA is hoping to settle on a framework by Thursday, when the Board of Governors will have a conference call and will vote on several different plans. Concepts, really. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility, and I'll get to your calls again here momentarily. But I promised that I would pass along the NBA's plans. There are essentially four versions of the NBA's return to play plan, and the owners need to decide, the owners, the Board of Governors, need to decide which plan they believe makes the most sense. Now, the small market teams want all 30 clubs to be invited to Orlando. Okay, so there are some teams out there that maybe don't have a chance to make the postseason, but they like the idea of having everybody on site in Orlando because of the unity, because of the symbolism of it. This was really the basis for Oklahoma City Thunder owner Clay Bennett in his plea to the other Board of Governors to kind of take into account, A, what it would look like to leave teams out. And I don't know. I hadn't really considered what it might look like, but he makes a good point. To bring all 30 teams back is the sign of we're all in this together. But also the money. that would be lost by the smaller market teams if they were not allowed to finish their season or have a chance to participate in a round robin or a play-in tournament. And so there are owners out there who want to bring back the teams that don't have a shot at making the playoffs. I mean, the Warriors, they're not a small market team, but they've got the worst record in the NBA. Now, here's what you need to keep in mind. 75% of the 30 teams, 75% of the owners have to vote to pass a particular plan. We are pretty confident that it's going to be an Orlando bubble type idea. But how many teams will be there? All right, the basic one, the one that's easiest to understand, is that 16 teams could show up in Orlando based on the standings, based on where they were when the season was suspended indefinitely on March 11th. So they could go with the top 16 teams, move right to the NBA playoff format that we're used to, and that would be it. No other teams allowed to be part of it. There are also owners in favor of a 20-team plan. And we kind of talked about this on the last show, but essentially, four extra teams outside of the top 16, and that would likely come from the Western Conference, because those are teams that have an opportunity to play in. If they were able to do the rest of their regular season games, to get on the court for the rest of their regular season games, they're within striking distance of getting to the postseason. So you want to make sure they have a chance. And here's something to keep in mind. If they bring back 20 or 22 teams or 30 teams, as opposed to just the 16 going straight to the playoffs, they would make more money, right? So there's always a financial element to it. Let's just be honest. The NBA could go with a 22-team format where, again, you'd have six different teams, six teams on the outside of the playoff picture looking in that would still have a chance to maybe win a play-in series. Again, kind of like what the NHL is doing. Now, they're going with 24 teams. The NBA is considering anywhere between 20 and 24. They're also considering just straight 16, top eight from each conference, and they're considering bringing back all 30. Okay, so the Board of Governors, the owners, they've got to vote. They've got to decide where to draw the line or to bring all 30 teams back, even though the logistics of that, the COVID-19 testing, the health and safety protocols, just the organizational component of shuffling 30 teams in and out of, I mean, there are multiple gyms in Orlando at the Wild World of Sports Complex, but you're obviously talking about a scheduling and logistics nightmare. Whew, it's going to take someone who's anal retentive to keep all that stuff straight. So if there's a plan that you like the best, you can find me on Twitter or find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, and then 855-212-4227. I think it will be a great day when they agree on a plan, a framework, the number of teams. There will be teams that are disappointed. We know that's the case with the NHL. They're bringing 24 teams back, probably to two sites that they haven't announced yet. And there are some teams on the outside looking in that don't get to complete their regular season. So it's abruptly ended with no opportunity for any closure, for any finish to their season. And that's disappointing for those teams or those franchises, for the owners, for the fans. So unless you bring back all 30 teams in the NBA, some will be disappointed. But also consider, Damian Lillard said, I'm not coming back if I don't have a chance to play for the postseason. John Wall probably won't play, even if the Wizards do have a shot at the postseason. The Warriors have already indicated, through Steve Kerr, that they're into the offseason, and they don't anticipate playing any more games. So you can't please everybody. Isn't that what Thurl Bailey said to us earlier this hour? You can't please everybody. It's impossible to come up with a plan that makes everybody happy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is listening in Florida. Mike, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
First, I wanted to say I'm a huge fan. You know, you get calls all the time. You get me through my night sometimes. Your laugh is contagious. You're amazing.
Thank you.
You've gone through in your career, you deserve everything. You're awesome. I hope you get it all.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, living in Jacksonville, from Miami. Huge Miami fan. I hope Tua does great. NBA, not a huge fan, but the information you give on the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. I'm a casual sports fan. If it's on, if it's a good game, I'll watch it.
There you go.
You get my attention on everything. You're a great broadcaster, and I really enjoy listening to your radio. Congratulations on your house. I hope your animals are doing great. And I really, really can't wait to listen to your next show tomorrow night and so forth.
Can I just ask you a question, Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you feeling about the Jaguars in the AFC South? Do you feel like they have an opportunity this year?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that they that I believe in Minshew. I think that he could do something great. I'm always up for bringing in competition. I don't know why they would bring in the tall guy. I can't remember his name, but the other quarterback they just signed.
Mike Glennon.
Yes, Mike Glennon. I don't know why they would bring him in. I don't feel that was competition in any sense. They just brought a rookie in, so I thought that was the same. It would have been the same tier, Mike Glennon and the rookie. I don't know if I would have brought Cam Newton in. That would have been, you know, a huge signing, and it would have made ripples. But I definitely think the Jaguars can make noise. They have the opportunity, but I want to go as far as saying that I like the Colts this year. In the AFC South, I like the Colts.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And I appreciate the support and the kind words too, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night. Stay safe.
Let's talk to Ron, who's in New Jersey. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. So, I pay attention to you very well. And I did, I have to because, you know, women rule the world. So, you know, I'm old enough to realize that. I'm not stupid. So anyway, I did four things that I never done before during this whole time. Mm-hmm. I joined a new church. It's strictly on the Bible because my fiance passed away last year.
Uh-huh.
I started talking to my brother again.
Great.
Since 48 years.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
I started reading The Battles of U.S. Grant because I was born on his birthday.
Good.
And I went to Seton Hall and I actually started something. This is the funny one. I actually started something called a stamp club, stamp collectors, okay?
Okay.
Many years ago, you weren't born probably, but during the Reagan years, collectibles was a very, very hot thing to do as opposed to putting money in the bank because you weren't making any money in the bank. So anybody like selling jewelry or coins or stamps or mm-hmm. anything, they made out like bandits. And I did very, very well
with stamps
in the stamp market.
Wait, because you have just like 20 seconds, so you have to hurry up, but I have to cut you off.
The funny story is that in high school, a stamp collector is called a philatelist. And if a woman wanted to go out with me, I said, well, you do know I'm a philatelist. And if I didn't want to go out with her, I never got the date.
goodness. Ron, that's really cute. I'm so sorry I have to let you go. Okay, but I'm so sorry I have to let you go because the music is playing and we're up against the top of the hour. But thank you for joining us. It's good to have you. I'm glad you're laughing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.